Jeremiah 19, and we're going to be looking at the first 11 verses. You know this rhyme, don't you? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. No, you don't know that rhyme? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I'm Humpty Dumpty. I am Humpty Dumpty. There's a sense in which I think all of us are. But as I reflect on my past life before Christ and think of part of my life as my father taught me to drink and the fact that I very well have could have become an alcoholic and that I did drink heavily in college, that was my propensity. In the college I went to, they didn't have river parties, but they had other kinds of parties. And that was a fact of life, and it was a way of life for many of us. And as I look back on those days, I recognize the fact that I was a broken clay pot. I was like Humpty Dumpty. And God arrested me one day and changed my disposition so that I no longer had the propensity to drink heavily, but had a desire, a keen desire in my heart to follow the living God. And I remember very well in a Quonset hut in Korea that every day I read the Bible after that time of God's taking my life and changing my heart. I read the Bible every day, and an interesting thing happened in the little room another second lieutenant and I were in that Quonset hut, because this other fellow had on his side of the room centerfolds from Playboy. And I was a brand new Christian. I started reading the Bible. And he knew that I was doing that, and that something changed. And in a few weeks, all of those centerfolds came down off of that opposite wall. It was very interesting how that took place. But at any rate, I recognized the fact that I was a broken clay pot and that God remade me. And that's what we're talking about today as we come to this time of the celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And I direct your attention once again to the prophet Jeremiah and his encounter with the potter and the potter's house. Verses 1 and 2 and Jeremiah 19. Thus says the Lord, go and buy a potter's earthenware jar and take some of the elders of the people and some of the senior priests. Then go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell you. Here was the prophet Jeremiah, and he wasn't the most popular guy in Jerusalem at this time in his career. And God came to him and said, I want you to go to the potter's house, and I want you to get a clay pot, an earthenware jar, and then I want you to go and get some of the elders of the city, and I want you to get some of the priests, senior priests, some of the high-ranking priests, and I want you to go out, take those priests with you, and I want you to go out to the Valley of Ben-Hinnom. And if you were here last week, you remember our talking about the Valley of Hinnom and how this was a place where there was a garbage dump, and there was also a place where there was a potter's field, and the potter's house was there, and there was a place where you could dig clay to make pottery. And Jeremiah was to take this entourage with him of the priests and the elders and take this clay pot with him. I have no idea, you don't either, I don't think, how big this clay pot was, but it might have been a fairly large pot, clay pot. and take that clay pot and go down into the valley of Hinnom. Now, if I were to do that today, you would probably say to me, you're crazy, and you wouldn't be very interested in following me in this scenario, in this scene. But picture it in your mind as it unfolds and Jeremiah goes with these other fellows to the valley of Hinnom. And God says to Jeremiah the following, as it's recorded in verses 3 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Israel. Jeremiah is to say this in the presence of the people there that he takes to the valley and he's holding this clay pot. Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring a calamity upon this place, at which the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle, because they have forsaken me and have made an alliance, an alien place, and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods. And neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah have ever known. And because they have filled this place with blood, the blood of the innocent, and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Topheth, or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter. This place was an awful place. It was a place of abominations. And in the fifth verse, Jeremiah, or God through Jeremiah, reminds the people that here was the place where Baal worship was accomplished and where there were child sacrifices performed. An incredible thing. You can go to these places today and you can still see huge heaps of rocks which were altars to the god Baal, the false god Baal. And scattered around these altars are the remains, the bones, the charred bones of babies. And if you go there with a doctor, they can verify the fact that these are children, the bones, the remains that are there. It's just an incredible thing. Child sacrifice performed. I can't help but think in our own country of the fact that since Roe versus Wade, 30 million babies have been slaughtered. 30 million. Imagine that. Just absolutely incredible that this should be the case. Well, this is the situation into which Jeremiah speaks. Well, let's read on, verses 6 through 9. Because this is abominable, there are certain consequences. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter. And I shall make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. And I shall cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. And I shall give over their carcasses as food for the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. I shall also make this city a desolation and an object of hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all its disasters. And I shall make them eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they will eat one another's flesh in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life will distress them. This is absolutely incredible. Jeremiah says through the prophet, this valley that we're in here now is going to be called the Valley of Slaughter. And the reason it's going to be called the Valley of Slaughter is there's going to be carcasses, dead bodies all over the place. And there's not going to be room to bury people. This is ultimate humiliation. The landscape will be so covered with carcasses that the dead birds will come and eat the flesh. Jerusalem will be a desolation. There will be a brutal enslavement of the people. And we know that this took place first when Babylon conquered Jerusalem. And in Lamentations chapter 4 and in verse 10, it says that the distress will be so bad in that time that the hands of compassionate women will boil their own children for food. You know, this is absolutely repugnant in our thinking. Jeremiah says this will take place. This also happened after the time of Christ in 70 AD when Jerusalem was conquered by the Romans. Titus was the general at the time. And the historian Josephus tells us that the famine was so great in the city of Jerusalem that the children were literally eaten for food by the older people. This is what Jeremiah is talking about. Verses 10 and 11 in our text. Then you are to break the jar in the sight of the men who accompany you and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, just so shall I break this people and this city, even as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be repaired again, and they will bury in Topheth, because there is no other place for burial. Jeremiah is to take this pot, and he's to break it. And one of the ways that he might break this pot would be to simply throw it on the ground, crash, and splinter all over the place. How many of you have ever been on a chair or on a ladder and you're putting in a light bulb and oops, splat on the floor. Pow! Goes that light bulb. And there is glass everywhere. And I've done that, and of course, I've done that on the stool in my bare feet. Not a good idea. Because you're in trouble then. That pot, that glass can't be put back together again. Humpty Dumpty, right? That's the situation. And that's what Jeremiah does. And it's interesting because as Jeremiah interprets his action here, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, just so shall I break this people and this city, even as one breaks the potter's vessel, which cannot be repaired. And they will bury in Topheth because there is no other place for burial. Here is the scene of judgment upon Israel and the pot which is broken and will not be repaired. I think that we find the fulfillment of this through Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, quickly to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And verses 37 and following. Jesus is outside Jerusalem. He's just come into the city. And he cries in Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus says, I'm leaving your city to you desolate. I'm walking away from it. And there was reason for that. When the death of Jesus Christ took place, that was the final sacrifice. And the temple and the sacrifices that were carried out in Jerusalem had to come to an end.
And when the Roman armies finally invaded Jerusalem in 70 AD, and there was a terrible siege of that city, and the temple services came to an end, never again to be resurrected. The prophecies we are looking at came to fulfillment because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the sacrifice which was established for the salvation of men and women. What an amazing scene. And the interesting thing for our purposes today is the fact that, like Jeremiah's jar, which was broken and was a very profound symbol to the people, we also have a very profound symbol and demonstration in the Lord's Supper. We have bread broken, which confirms to us the body of Jesus Christ broken for people like us. The clay pot, the vessel of Jesus Christ, smashed. We have the fruit of the vine, confirming to us the spilling of the blood of Jesus Christ, the content of the vessel, at least in part, poured out. And we have the judgmental sides and the side of blessing portrayed for us. And we have Jesus Christ, a jar, a potter's vessel, broken, buried, and suffering on behalf of others. To help you understand this, look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4, which we read together. Ephesians 4 and verses 7, 8, and 9. The Apostle Paul says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now this expression, "he ascended," what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? This Jesus Christ descended, Paul says, to the lower parts of the earth. And I think what Paul means is that he descended not somehow to lower parts of the earth, but that he descended to the earth, which is a lower part of creation. He became, as it were, a clay pot. Jesus Christ did not enter the world and become a president with a security contingent and a limousine. Jesus Christ did not become an earthly king in a palace. Jesus Christ did not become an ambassador of the type that has a security team and goes to another country to represent a country and is lavishly adorned. Jesus Christ did not come as the chief executive officer of a big company with all the accoutrements and with a great salary. He didn't come in that fashion. He came into the lower parts of this world. The young people are memorizing one of the catechism questions. Wherein does Christ's humiliation consist?
Christ's humiliation consists in His being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, the cursed death of the cross, and in being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. The humiliation of Christ involved His being born. The very fact that He was born, that He took on human flesh, was a huge humiliation to Jesus Christ. This is the thing that we need to grasp. And why did Jesus Christ become a clay pot? Because that's what we are. Because that's what we are. That's why He did it. And He became a clay pot which took the wrath of God for sin. Wherein does Christ's humiliation consist? Christ's humiliation consists in His being born, in His undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, the cursed death of the cross, and in being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. He took the wrath of God, and He was smashed like that clay pot that Jeremiah held in his hand. And He did it to pay for the sins of the likes of us. You know, it's very interesting. In the paper this week, we had articles concerning this young lady who stabbed a cheerleader in Nickerson. And here's what the paper Monday or Tuesday said about this young lady. The charge is filed in the alternate, alleging the slaying was either intentional or it was done unintentionally. Now, I don't know how you put a knife in somebody else's chest unintentionally, but this is the way it is. Or unintentionally, under circumstances manifesting an extreme indifference to life. Now, you've got to manifest an extreme indifference to life when you bury a knife in somebody else's chest. That's all there is to it. That is a crime. And Jesus Christ came and was broken to pay for crimes like that. That's why He came. Who knows what crime I would have perpetrated under the influence of alcohol? I know the propensity of my heart was in the direction to do evil. But Jesus Christ came and was broken so that this clay pot could be remade. And I'm jumping up and down, ecstatic that that is the case. That's why He came. You see, we are criminals, each one of us. And Jesus Christ paid the price for us. That's the message of the communion supper. It's a message that comes to us forcefully, it seems to me, when we take the bread in our hands and recognize this is His body, broken, a part of the clay pot broken for us. And when we take the cup, the fruit of the vine, and realize it is the blood of Jesus shed for us. We were people under condemnation. But through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who became a clay pot and was broken for us, we are remade. That's the message. And friends, that's what we come to celebrate. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that in Jesus Christ we have life. Thank you, Father, that long ago when Jeremiah broke that pot and it splintered all over the place, and it was a foreshadowing of the demise of a nation, we thank you that Jesus Christ came, took on human form, became an earthen vessel, and was broken, so that we need not be shattered like that in a way that cannot be repaired. We're thankful, Father, that Jesus Christ is the King that remakes us. So we praise you and bless you and exalt in you today. In Jesus' name, amen.